Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. If you were with us yesterday, you heard the first part of Dr. Kinlow's sermon on Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning at verse 15. The sermon is centered around Moses' last words to his people. They are important words because they are the word of the Lord concerning how they must live in the promised land. And he sets forth the consequences if they do not live according to the word of God given to them. Obedience leads to blessings, prosperity, and a long life in the land, while disobedience results in curses, hardship, and ultimately spiritual death. Moses emphasizes that God's commands are not burdensome and are ultimately for their good. True obedience, he stresses, stems from a heartfelt commitment to God, not just outward religious practices. As it was for them, it is for us today. Let's listen and learn.
And so the last check from Nationwide immediately went into another check from a whole new place that hired her with more benefits, better pay, better this, better that. What I'm saying is she did not miss a beat. See? You do it God's way, God will take care of you. Somebody say amen today. When you do it God's way, God will make the necessary moves in your life. He'll open up the necessary doors in your life. He'll close the one that needs to be closed. And you know, God said, this chapter of your life is over. I'm moving you on to something else. And so this is the way God, what I'm trying to say is, when you do it God's way, the heavens and the earth will be a witness for you. Choose death and prosperity, it'll be against you. Real simple principle to learn, young folks. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And then God says, so choose life in order that you may live and your seed. It's very curious the way this is written. God sets before the people two choices, and then he commands them which one to take. I set before you life and prosperity, death and calamity. In other words, he gives you a choice, but then he gives you a command what choice to take. He says, choose life.
Yes.
In the Hebrew, this is a command. It is an imperative. I set before you life and death. I've set before you life and prosperity, death and calamity. And then God tells you what choice to make. Choose life in order that you and your offspring and your descendants will live.
Amen.
You know, we need to know that today because there's a movement going on amongst apostate pastors and pastors I wouldn't give a wooden nickel to. And they are using this passage to justify a woman's right to choose to have an abortion. And they even quote this passage. I played it several weeks ago. I played it in Sunday school. This preacher up talking about, you know, God gives you the right to choose. And what he was trying to say is one choice is just as viable as another. And he was trying to say God doesn't care which choice you make because you have free will. That's not what this text is saying. You do have a right to choose which way you're going to go. But then God commands you which way to go. Look, Junior, I've set before you good, right and wrong, good and evil, but I command you to make the right choice. I command you to choose life and live. When you choose death and adversity over life and prosperity, you are being disobedient to the command of God. And anytime you are disobedient to the command of God, the outcome will never be good.
Never.
that's why God says, I set before you this way and this way, but I command you to take this way so you can live. Very clear.
Yes.
You know, try to, you know, when you know, God says, thou shalt not steal, well, I think I can. You know, God gives you the right to pay for your stuff when you leave the store, before you leave the store. But just walk out with it. It's a choice. But keep walking out with stuff without paying it. And being disobedient to God. And sooner or later, we're going to be driving up to Walmart or someplace and you see the cruiser outside. And you know what's going on. They didn't call the shoplifter. And we'll watch them escort you out with your hands cuffed up. And while you're trying to struggle and act up. You know, acting crazy like they're being discriminated. No, you were stealing. You need to go to jail. Thieves belong in jail. Thieves belong in a court of law being prosecuted. So God said, yeah, you can steal if you want to. The choice is pay for your stuff or don't. But I'm commanding you, pay for your stuff. Don't steal it. Because when you are being disobedient to God, the outcome is never good.
Amen.
Let me give you another example. If you are in the very presence of Jesus and he's talking to you and he says, behind door A are the blessings of God. And behind door B are the curses of God. Choose ye this day which one you shall serve, or choose ye this day which one you shall choose. And you're rebellious and you choose door B. He didn't already tell you the curse is behind that door. What do you think you're going to get when you walk through door B? The curses of God. So God does give a choice, but he also commands you which choice to take. Somebody say amen today.
Yes.
Choose life in order that you may live. Verse 20. I'm almost done. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. So that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed. I probably need to talk about that some more. Parents, choose life in order that you may live. And your seed may live. I don't know how deep y'all want me to take this. I don't know what's wrong with Junior. You? Now I understand kids, you know, they make choices when they leave home. Same thing. You were taught right and wrong here. Choose the right way. But this text seems to say, when we deliberately choose wrong over right, there's not only an impact on us, there's also an impact on our offspring. Am I reading this correctly? So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed or your offspring. Parents, remember that. The life you live directly impacts the life your children
Amen.
Will have. I got a few amens today. It's the word of God. By loving Yahweh, your God, by listening to his voice and by holding fast to him. For this is your life and length of days. That little phrase there, holding fast, it's a Hebrew word. It literally means to pursue, grasp, hold on, and don't let go.
Amen.
What he's saying is pursue God. Cling to God. Don't let go. Hold fast him, for he says, this is your life. Life itself is pursuing God. And once you discover the truth of God, hold fast to it. Don't compromise. Don't let go. It is your life. Life is pursuing God, discovering the truth of God, clinging to that, holding fast to it, and never let go. That's life. Not all this other stuff you're hearing on CNN, Fox News, and all this other nonsense people are telling you. Life is not about your reproductive freedoms. Life is not about you foolishly thinking you can choose the gender you want to be. Do you know all of these people saying, you're born a man, but I think I'm a woman, so now I'm a female? Do you know when they discover your bleach bones 2,000 years from now, if we're still here, they're going to look at your bones and say, this a male died. If you a female, they're going to look at the way your hip shape and your hip bones and all that put together and your femur bones, because men's hips and women's hips are different. The bone structure is different. Even when you didn't turn into a skeleton, you're still going to be who God made you. Life is not about trying to make your choices about who I think I am. Life is certainly not about Democrat and Republican nonsense. Because quite honestly, I don't understand how you can put your hope and trust in any of that from both sides of the aisle. Life is not your job, because your job will let you know you ain't our life. With a pink slip, you being loyal to your company. And that have your job up on the board tomorrow morning. None of that is life. Life is this. Pursue God. Discover the truth of God. Yes. And once you discover it, hold fast to it.
Yes.
Cling fast to it. Hold fast to it. And do not let go. Life is God.
Amen.
Life is God.
Yes.
Life is God.
Amen.
And Jesus reiterated that in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Life is God himself. Life is Jesus. Understanding him, knowing him, and what you discover about who he is and what he can do, you hold fast, you cling, and you don't let go, and you live that way, and you breathe that way, and you die that way. Life is God. Life is Jesus. God says, it is your life. Then he also says it's length of days. First, he's talking to Israel. He says to Israel, pursue me, hold fast to me, don't let go. It's your life and also length of your days. Did you know nations don't? Nations collapse not because they had bad economic policy. Nations collapse because the relationship with God was not right. When Israel went away captive into Babylon, or Assyria first and then Babylon, it wasn't because they had the wrong economic policy. It wasn't because city council wouldn't take care of the sidewalks. It wasn't because of all of this stuff. God sent them into captivity because they no longer pursued him and held fast to him. That's why they collapse. Every nation that has collapsed and will collapse is because their relationship with God was not right. And the way you know your relationship with God is right or not right You know it's not right when you begin to institutionalize abominable things. That's when you know the nation is not right with God. The length of a nation's days is literally God. I don't know if I believe that, Pastor. One last passage, I'm going to sit down. Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18. And 19. Economic policy doesn't destroy nations. Bad economic policy doesn't move God to judge and destroy nations. When the relationship with God is not right. And here's how you know a nation's relationship with God is not right. Gross sexual immorality and killing your babies. Let's read it. Leviticus 18, 19. Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. And you shall not lie sexually with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. And you shall not give any of your seed to pass them over to Molech. They were burning up their babies. Nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am Yahweh. And you shall not lie with the male as one lie with the female. It is an abomination. Now today it's an alternative lifestyle. It's diversity. God says when the dude landed with another dude, it is an abomination. Also, you shall not lie with any animal to be made unclean with it. I believe that's next on the horizon for America. Because there was a time we said, we would say, ain't nowhere in the world men gonna be marrying men and women gonna be marrying women. If you told me 30 years ago, you could just decide what gender you were and there were 82 genders and all of this other nonsense and a big old 6 foot two man, shoulders looking like a linebacker, size 13, 14 shoe, dark shadow on his face at 5 o'clock, running around here talking about he's a woman. If you'd have told us, and not only that, but to be accepted by society as true, we would have laughed at you. But look where we are at. I might not live long enough to see it, but given enough time, man will want to marry Fido. Fido was my wife, or whatever you're calling her. God says, and you shall not lie with any animal to be made unclean with it, nor shall any man stand before an animal to mate with it. It is a perversion. Then look what he says. So do not defile yourselves by any of these things, for by all these things, the what? Nations, plural, which I am casting out before you have become defiled. So the land has become unclean, and I brought its punishment upon it, and the land has vomited out its inhabitants. There you go. God tells Israel, the reason why I'm getting rid of all of these nations and peoples in the promised land of Canaan is because of sexual immorality, and they were burning up their babies on the altar of Molech. And God says, these things have so polluted the land, they have so defiled the land, that I'm going to bring my punishment upon it. And then he tells Israel, if you do the same thing, I'm going to remove you also. The length of a nation's days is directly linked to his acknowledgement of God. Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, our Constitution don't go that way. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Well, our Bill of Rights, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You cannot survive as a nation and not acknowledge God is the creator of all things. You cannot exist and survive as a nation when you institutionalize and legalize that which is abominable to God. You will never survive as a nation if there's gross sexual immorality or you're killing your babies. A nation's relationship with God is its length of days. And I'm going to say that it's also true of individuals. Length of days is your relationship with God.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are times when innocent people get killed and this, that, and the other. But there are quite a few people who kick out of here early because you were just disobedient to God. I'm going to do it my way. And end up with a bullet or getting cut at the smart set under the pool table, ducking for your life. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Amen. At the factory bar, running, somebody shooting. Going way back. Amen. Ask Elder Williams, he'd tell you about the factory bar and smart set, the baby grand lounge, and all this other kind, the three aces. Disobedient to God, where you're not supposed to be.
Amen.
Hanging around with Bobo and Bobo selling crack. In the wrong place at the wrong time. Dr. John, I was in the right place, but the wrong, but it must have been. Y'all know the song, amen. I was in the right place, but disobedience to God will end your days. Disobedience to God will shorten the length of your days on this earth.
Amen.
Life is God.
Amen.
Pursue him. Once you discover him, his truth, what he says about himself and what he says about what you live, how you live, cling to it and don't let go. Amen. It's your life 24/7. And not only is it your life, young folks, it is length of days. I'm going to say this three more times and I'm going to sit down. Young people, life and length of days is doing it God's way.
Amen.
Even if you have to do it God's way and there are negative repercussions in your life, I'm telling you, by the time you get 65 like I am, you'll be able to look back and say, look where God has brought me from. Somebody say amen today.
Amen.
Stand your ground. If you got to stand alone, stand alone.
Yeah.
As Ezekiel says, God looked for one man to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And God said, I found none, but you can be the one God sees standing in the gap.
Woo.
You don't have to live a life of sexual immorality. You don't have to hang around dope people. You don't have to hang around a bad crowd. If you got to be a loner, keep yourself pure, you just be a loner. Somebody say amen today.
Amen.
It is your life and length of days. Do it God's way and you'll turn out exactly what God has ordained for your life. The pursuit of God and clinging to him, it is your life. And it is length of days. It is not only your spiritual life, but it's also your material, prosperous life. God promises, stay with me and I'll bless you spiritually. Stay with me and I'll make sure every need you have and every necessity you have, God says, I will provide. I will feed you. When the disciples, I'm going to sit down. When the disciples on the boat and they rowing hard and the waves about to overtake them and they, Jesus sleep, master, I love the King James, carest thou not that we perish. And you notice he woke up, he didn't address that stupid question. Because they should have known he cared. Because he had already said to them before they got on the boat, let's get on the boat and let's go to the other side. Now, if Jesus said we're going to the other side, kind of sort of suspect we're going to make it to the other side. They're roaring, the water's coming in the boat, and Jesus still asleep. They finally arouse him. And you know the story. He tells the wind and waves to shut up, hush, be still. Came perfectly calm. But the only safety was in the boat with Jesus. Yes, the boat was going like this. Yes, the water was coming in the boat. Yes, it seemed like they were all going to drown. Yes, it seemed like they were all going to be overwhelmed. But the only safe place was in the boat where Jesus was.
Yeah.
If they'd have stepped outside of that boat, a dead man walking or swimming, in this case, or trying to swim, life is going to rock you and roll you. Life going to take you to some peaks and valleys. Some of everything life got to offer you, young folks, you're going to experience it before you kick on out of here. But I'm telling you, stay in the boat with Jesus. And you'll be all right. And I've greatly strayed from my notes today. A lot of that wasn't even in here, but pray for me. My homiletics professor would have given me bad marks today, hey, because I didn't stay with it. But prayerfully, we said something to help you out today. Let's pray. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for all things today. We thank you for the word of God, the last counsel of Moses. God sets before us life and death, prosperity and adversity. But he commands us to choose life in order that we may live. Never forget it. Remember, when you do it God's way, heaven and earth will be for you. Do it your way, heaven and earth will be a witness against you. Lord, help us all to remember life is God. Life is Jesus. Length of days is God. Length of days, it is a right relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that these truths will get in our minds and into our hearts, and we will live them out from day to day in our lives. The gospel is Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day, bodily from the dead. That is the gospel, and there is salvation in nobody else but Jesus. We pray that all in the room today, you know Christ as Savior. If not, if you're convicted about your sinful way of life and not having Christ in your life, these altar workers are here to give you the simplicity of the gospel in order that you can say yes to the Lord. Also, if there's one and you believe God wants to be a member of this church, and I know I haven't talked this over with the elders, but we will talk to one of the elders. First and foremost, Elder Williams, Elder Culver, Pastor Smith, Elder McNeil, and we can take care of that also. Father God, we pray for every need that's on the prayer list. Lord, lead us. Lord, guide us until we meet again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God, Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world.